Okay, you can add one more thing to that list. There are only 30 more days to do your shopping before Christmas, unless you're already all stressed out after doing it all on Black Friday and yesterday. Stress is something we associate with this area. Depending on who you talk to, stress can be a badge of honor. You're important if you're stressed. You know, rest and relaxation, that's for little people that really aren't doing anything significant. But I'm really important, so I've got to be doing all kinds of stuff, and I'm on the go all the time. Stress. It's often our identity. This is who I am. But you know, stress also crushes us. You know, for the first time in our lifetime, life expectancy in our country has dipped. And stress is one of the main suspects for it. Stress is serious. Stress can drag you and those around you down. So what do you do with stress? Can the Bible help us? Look at several things today. What is stress? What causes it? What does stress tell us about us? What does stress reveal about us? And then how can we thrive through stress? Heavenly Father, you know everything that is going on in everyone's life here. Lord, you know who is stressed. You know who is discouraged. You know who's doing great. Lord, would you meet us where we're at? Would you minister to us through your word? Give us everything we need for life and godliness. Give us everything we need to thrive in a stressful culture. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is stress? What causes stress? Stress is something that all of us experience. It's common to everyone. This is part of a series we're doing called Beyond Sunday. And we want to talk about our faith and how it translates Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. How do we live this out? How do we live Christianity so it's not just something that we hear on Sunday morning, think it's nice and kind, and then put it in a little box and go off by ourselves the rest of the week? What we believe is relevant every single day. That being the case, it has to help us with the stress and the pressures of life here. You see, unresolved stress leads to anxiety, depression, and worse. Stress is the pressures of life pressing in on us. Stress is the pressure of life pressing in on us. Pressures of life is part of life. You will have stress this side of eternity. Everyone deals with it. Whatever your station in life, maybe you're a student and you're stressing about, I've got this homework assignment due tomorrow. Or you've got exams coming up. Maybe in the workplace, there's people you have to deal with that just ratchet the stress up. You know who they are. You're looking at them right now as you think about it. Or maybe you've got a tough situation at home or a relationship that you struggle with. It all kind of presses into us and adds stress. And when we're stressed, our thinking gets scrambled. See, stress affects us. And it doesn't just affect us, it impacts all those around us, the people we love the most. Unresolved stress leads to bigger and bigger problems. And we all handle stress differently. For some people, stress is kind of like the rubber band, you know, that's just getting wound up and it's kind of, it's just getting more, and then boom, the eruption. For others, stress is a slow, plodding grind that just wears you down. We all handle it differently because we're made differently. Different things cause us stress. And what stresses you may not stress the person next to you. Stress is caused by all kinds of things. Some of the most common have to do with time. We all think, oh, I don't have enough of it. How many times do we catch ourselves saying, if only there were more hours in a day? Money is also a stressor. And in most cases, we think, I don't have enough of it. I've got more month than money. I'm in big trouble. Or I would love to get this. I'd love to get that. And the stress builds up. Or maybe it's stress that's caused by something that happened to you, something that someone else did to you. And as you think about it, it wears on you. See, when we stress, we realize we're not in control. We stress because there's usually not much we can do about whatever has happened. We can't add time to the day. We can't go to our calendar and go, I'm really slammed today. I'm just going to add a few more hours in there. You can't do it. Money. You have what you have. And God has said he will give you what you need. Money didn't grow on trees. We all know that. Events. Things that happen to us. We can't undo the past. We're not in control. And stress, when it kicks in, it activates that fight or flight instinct that we all have. It's survival mode it can put us in. When we allow stress to run rampant, we just go about in survival mode. It lessens our quality of life. But stress is neutral. Stress can be both good and bad. What will determine whether it's good or bad is how we respond to it. Let me give you some examples. When you go exercise, you are stressing your muscles. The older you get, the longer you will feel it. But you're stressing your muscles, and so you can build them up. That's good stress. I hear in the world of agriculture that plants that grow in a greenhouse aren't as strong as those in the wild. Because in the greenhouse, it's a perfect setting. There's no wind. It's nice and warm the whole time. But for the plant that's been outside and had to endure the storms and the wind, it's going to grow up stronger. Likewise, in our lives, stress can be a very good thing. Stress can grow us stronger. But stress can also be bad. Unresolved stress, as I've said earlier, scrambles our thinking and it wears us down. Unresolved stress can lead you to feeling overwhelmed. I just can't cope with life. It paralyzes us. It gets you anxious. Stress affects others and it can make you into a volcano. You're just tightly wound up, and then the slightest little thing sets you off. It's bad for you, and it's bad for those around you. That's the volcano, the anger eruptions. Over time, stress, if you don't deal with it, gives you rust-colored glasses. Everything looks crummy. You can't enjoy everything. It leads you down the path to depression. Unresolved stress can get you bitter at the things that have happened to you or the stresses that you're enduring now. I shouldn't have to deal with this. It messes with us. But you know, everyone experiences stress. And in the land of the self-important here in Northern Virginia, we like to think that our lifestyle is more stressful than everyone else's. There may be some validity to that. Stress is real. So here's the thing. What's the sense in coming to church on Sunday, hearing something that we put in our nice little religious box, close it, and then go out on our own the rest of the week? The fact is, our faith is relevant to everything we deal with. As we struggle with stress, as we encounter stress during the week, our faith gives us everything we need. And it's not so much our faith in us being able to womp it up, but it's the one we have faith in. So can Christianity help us beyond Sunday? Does Jesus make a practical difference to the stresses you encounter at work, at home, everywhere? See, stress reveals the truth about us. We can say who we worship, we can say who we trust, But the reality is, when we're under stress, it will reveal who we really trust. Feel stressed, you say, I'm going to take care of this by myself. I'm going to do it. Then you're going to get wound up and you're going to do it all by yourself. You can turn to other things that you think you trust. Maybe it's your money you trust, or maybe it's your position that you have in your job you trust. But when you're under stress, it will reveal who we really trust. You can open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll be looking at how the Apostle Paul dealt with the stress that was thrown his way. But before we go looking for a spiritual answer, I think it's very important to note this. We have to recognize that God has made us very uniquely. God has made us so that we have physical and non-physical attributes. There is more to us than just what we can, you know, touch and see. We have a soul. We have a spirit. And it's important that we understand that. I don't want us to think, okay, this is going to be nice devotional thoughts on dealing with stress, but then not address what might be very obvious, and that is our physical. God has made us physical beings. And when we're under stress, when we're struggling with different things, it affects all of us. It's not just a head thing. It's not just a spirit thing. Stress affects our body. When I talk with people who are saying, man, I'm really, really under stress, well, rather than looking for something really complex and spiritual and impressive, let's look at the simplest things first. Are you getting enough sleep? How's your diet? Are you getting enough exercise? It's amazing how diet, sleep, and exercise can transform your outlook on life. But the trouble with stress is stress just pulls us in. It winds us in, and then all we're looking at is the problems we face. That's all we see. And we start neglecting ourselves. We don't eat right. We don't get enough sleep. We don't exercise. And then it just snowballs from there. I remember when we moved to England and I was taking a pastorate there, I went to several older and retired pastors that I knew, and I asked each of them, well, what would you tell a guy who's getting ready to take a pastorate? And they all said several different things, but there was two common threads that every single one of them said. The first one was not a surprise. They said, make sure you pray. It's kind of like, I knew that, but I still need to pray more. But then the other thing they all said was, don't neglect your exercise. They didn't say necessarily go join a gym, but they said go for a walk every day. You've got to do something because your body as well as spirit. God has made us in a unique way. So get grounded in Him. Diet, sleep, exercise, all important in dealing with stress. But what happens when you're really under it? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is writing, and they're under all kinds of stress. Paul is one of the guys that Jesus tasked with kind of kickstarting Christianity as we know it. He was traveling all over the Roman Empire bringing the good news of Jesus Christ. And many people, when they first heard this gospel, this message that Paul was bringing, they didn't say, that's great, that's fantastic. They tried to kill him. They threw him into prison. They didn't like him. That adds stress. They were under all kinds of pressures. And he writes to God's people, the church at Corinth. This is 2 Corinthians, so this is not the first letter he wrote to them. Paul wrote several letters to them, and this is one of his later ones. The first one, you could title a book of 1 Corinthians Trainwreck Church, because there was all kinds of problems, all kinds of things going on. But the good thing is, after writing a very hard letter to them, they sorted out some of the challenges that they were dealing with, some of the sin that was in the middle of their church. They took care of that. And so Paul is encouraged at what's going on. But he says, guys, I'm still under the wringer. And this is what he has to say to us. This is how we can have hope in stress. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We have this incredible treasure. The treasure that he's talking about is found in verse 6. We know Christ. We have Christ in us. It's the gospel. See, the gospel is good news for every aspect of our lives. When we're feeling stressed, we have the gospel. And I love the tension and the balance you see in this verse. It's in jars of clay. That's us. We have this incredible power, this incredible thing, the gospel. Too big for any of us to be able to really wrap our head around it all. We have this treasure, but it's in jars of clay. That's us. Now, a clay jar is not necessarily a bad thing. There are some very nice clay jars out there. It's not a diss to us to say that it's kept in clay jars. But the fact is, clay is not that strong of a building material. Clay jars break easily. And it's a reminder to us of the tension that we will have this side of eternity. We're going to face all kinds of stress, all kinds of pressure. Yes, we have this incredible treasure, Christ in us, the good news of the gospel. But this side of eternity, we also are clay pots, and clay breaks easily. Stress will reveal our breaking points. From the engineering world that I come from, there's something that you can do called a stress test. It's usually done on concrete for buildings or anything else you're going to put a building up with, but you can stretch it or you can press it. And you find out its breaking point. Clay isn't used to build many big buildings around here. You won't see it because clay is not that strong. We have this incredible treasure, but it's in clay jars. And our clay jars need to be taken care of. Our clay jars need to eat properly, need to get sleep, need to get exercise. The treasure we have, though, knowing God is with us and in us. That is awesome. And that is what we have. He goes on verse 8 and says this: we're afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. When I read these verses, I feel I almost need to invite the Little Women chorus up here to sing with us. But I love the tension that's in here. You know, we're beaten up, but we're not destroyed. Life is hard, but we don't have to be crushed. See, sometimes we can glibly say, well, God's not going to allow anything to happen to me that I can't handle by myself. I respectfully disagree with that. I think one of the purposes of stress is to show us just how far our limits are and to say, I can't handle this myself. God, I need to press into you. I need to tap into that gospel. I need to tap into the good news of Jesus Christ being in me and his power to do something through me that the world will look at and say, well, he certainly didn't do that by himself. God allows stress to come into our lives, not so much to break us, but to show how great he is when we turn to him. We have this treasure in us, in jars of clay. And when we respond to adversity that the rest of the world looks at and says, I couldn't deal with that, we can say, I can't deal with it either by myself. But you know, the good news is I'm not by myself. I have the God of the universe in me because Jesus Christ is my Savior. And because of this, yes, the reality is I am afflicted in this world. Christianity is not a bed of roses. I am afflicted, but I'm not crushed. I'm perplexed. You know, things happen in life that I don't have a good answer for. I can't pull out a pat Bible verse and say, oh, this is why. There's stuff I may not get the answer to this side of eternity. And that's okay. Because I'm not driven to despair. Because I trust that God, who is in me and also bigger than me, will take care of things. I may be persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. Because God himself said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will always be with you. I'm struck down, but I'm not destroyed. You see, if I'm a jar of clay by myself, if I'm one of these guys who just thinks, if it's got to be, it's up to me, I won't be able to stand up under all this. But I say, wait a minute, I am a jar of clay. But I have the incredible treasure, the God of the universe in me, that transforms everything. That gives me what I need. You see, we need to be honest with the stress that we are under. When we're stressed, look at the first part of those phrases before. When we're afflicted, when we're perplexed, when we're persecuted, when we're struck down, be honest and acknowledge the stress we're under. We don't do God any service when we try to pretend everything is just fine. We can be honest. And we face stresses and pressures in life, some of which are beyond our control. When we feel these stresses, think of them as warning lights that are getting triggered. And there are all kinds of different warning lights we have. God has made us fearfully and wonderfully. We're physical and we're non-physical. Physically, there are times you're just not feeling right. Maybe you're not sleeping well. Maybe that's kind of either causing the stress or it's making it worse. We need to think about that. Some of the warning lights in relationships. You find yourself quarreling more frequently. You find yourself getting upset by things which before used to not faze you. The littlest things just trigger something in you. That's a warning light to stress. And when those warning lights go on, it's important that we take corrective action. That's God saying to us, wait a minute, you're about to hit your limits here. You can either try to hang on by yourself or you can turn to me and believe the truth that's in you, Jesus Christ. He goes on and he says this, starting in verse 10. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. You see, for stress, for everything the world and life throws at us, there's grace. And this is where God steps in and does beyond what we are able to do by ourselves. Jesus endured suffering and stress in this world. We should expect it to happen to us too. The death of Jesus that it refers to here, that's talking about the stress and the suffering that we experience going through life. The life of Jesus is the hope that we have in him. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave is the same power that resides in us. That's this treasure that we have. The same power that rolled the tomb away and brought Jesus out is what we have in us. But you know, there's a problem I find in church world. Many of us have heard this over and over, and it kind of is just like a vaccination that we get. It's we hear the dose and we kind of go, okay, and then we just go on our lives as if we never heard it before. I'm convinced if all of us stopped and paused, thought, wait a minute, the God of the universe lives in me as a Christian. That's phenomenal. The power that rose Jesus from the dead is available to me. There is no stress I will ever face that is greater than being dead in a tomb outside of Jerusalem. And God raised Jesus from the dead, and we have access to that power. The death of Jesus, if you will, talks about the first things we saw in those phrases in verses 8 and 9. We're afflicted, we're crushed, we're persecuted, we're struck down. The life of Jesus is the second part of those phrases. but not crushed, not driven to despair, not forsaken, not destroyed. This is what we have. The Apostle Paul, in his ministry, ran up into something we don't know exactly what it was. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, later on in this book, he has a conversation with God. He has several conversations with God. And he says, God, can't you take this away from me? It's holding me back. Some people suspect it was a physical problem. Others say it was a problem with his eyesight. We don't know. And I think it's significant that God doesn't tell us exactly what it is, because we'd be able to dismiss it as, well, that was just what Paul struggled with. Scripture's identifying with all of us. We all face different things. And Paul says, three times I went to the Lord and begged him to take it away from me. And listen to how the Lord responds to him in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I, Paul, will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, stressors. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Stress shows us where we're weak. Stress shows this is your limit. Stress is a reminder to us to press in to Christ and see him work through us in ways that are greater than we can imagine. So after saying all these things that they've had to deal with and they wrestle with, Paul and the guys he's traveling with, I feel that after he says up to verse 15, it's almost like he pauses. And then he carries on like this in verse 16. So, we don't lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. This is a reminder to us to look up and ahead. When you feel those stressors coming, when the warning lights are going off, look up and look ahead. Stress reminds us we have limited capability by ourselves. We are just clay pots. Stress is a reminder we need to tap into that treasure in us, the good news of the gospel. See, the gospel is how you become a Christian, but it's also how you live the Christian life. The gospel message is that every one of us needs a Savior. We can't make it on our own. All of us as human beings, we sin. And sin isn't necessarily something that will put you in prison. It's not something that only really, really bad people do. All of us sin. And sin is when we worship something other than God. We make something more important than him in our lives. God says the trouble with sin is it messes up everything, and I don't want sin in my perfect heaven. All of us have no chance because we're not perfect. There's nothing we can do to earn God's favor. Going to church won't do it for you. Giving money to the poor won't do it for you. Living a stress-free life won't do it for you. We need a Savior. God said, world, I love you so much, I will send a Savior for you. I will send my Son, who is God in the flesh. Jesus is the only one who ever lived a perfect life without sin. And God showed his love by allowing his Son to die in our place on the cross. And here's why that matters. Because when he was on the cross, Jesus offers an exchange to every human being. He says, if you will come to me and give me your sin, your junk, your shame, I will bear the death penalty that you deserve. And not only that, when we come to him for salvation, saying, Lord Jesus, I believe, would you save me? He says he will credit us his perfection. It's like he takes our sin, our junk, and our shame, and he gives us his perfection. So that on that great judgment day, people aren't going to see the stupid things I've done. God will see me wearing Jesus' righteousness, his perfection. The Bible says, when you believe that Jesus took your sin on the cross and rose again to prove he did it, and you're trusting in him and him alone to be your Savior, you've passed from death unto life. And then he says, you're here on earth for a reason. Your ultimate home is heaven, but you're here to serve me and introduce others to me. He gives us everything we need to live a life that will draw others to him. So we don't lose heart because of this gospel. We look up. We say, you know, I can't deal with this stress by myself. God, I need your help. We look ahead because God is doing something far bigger than just what is going on right here and now. God has moved heaven and earth to give us a Savior. God has invited us to participate in his big story that spans the centuries. That's amazing. And then the icing on the cake, heaven is our ultimate home. God is doing a work that is bigger than we may realize right now. It's bigger than we can see. And he wants us to look up and to look ahead because the future is glorious. God allows stress and suffering in this life so we turn to him and he can extend grace to us and to others around us. Where we go with our mind when we're stressed will dictate how we handle it. We can say, I'm going to deal with it myself, or we can say, God, I need you. See, we need to have our minds renewed by the word of God to trust and believe what he says is true. See, living in light of his promises, it recalibrates us. It gives us what we need in a stressful life. If we ignore his promises, then we pay the price for it. And we can get crushed by stress. And we can make life miserable for those that we love the most who are near us. Or we can choose to recalibrate and grow. See, stress is real. It's right here. What we do with it is what matters the most. We're going to hang on to it by ourselves. We're going to say, God, I'm turning to you. Stress reveals who we trust. And when we trust God with our lives, he can do things greater than we imagine. So when you leave these doors here, be confident in the promise that the God who gave us this word that we've just read from goes with you. And this God who goes with you is bigger than any stress you will feel. He raised his son from the grave. He made the stars in the sky. And he is with us. The God who is greater than we can imagine loves us more than we can imagine. And he proved it once and for all at the cross. If you ever doubt God's love for you, stop and think about the cross. He could have let us just stay in our sin. He could have given us no hope and stress. But he said, I'm giving you my son, and I'm going to allow him to die a horrible death in your place. Will you believe that? The Bible says when you believe that message, you pass from death into life. And when we keep believing that message through our life, that's when we have hope in stress. The treasure that we have is not just something that should stay in our little religion box on Sundays. But we need to remember it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Because the treasure that we have in Christ is everything that we need to grow through the stress that life will throw at us. Let's pray together. Before we pray, I want you to think about some of the pressure points you might be feeling right now. Maybe there are situations at work you're dealing with, or maybe it's a relational challenge, but it's something that is getting you stressed because you know you can't deal with it by yourself. And I challenge you right here, right now, to say, God, I'm not quite sure how to handle this, but I'm turning to you the best way that I can. God, this is demonstrating my weakness. Would you show yourself strong? Heavenly Father, you know us better than we know ourselves. You love us more than we dare imagine. And you are greater than we can understand. Lord, I pray that though we are just jars of clay, we would have the joy of seeing that incredible treasure, Christ in us. Give us overwhelming victory in the stress and the adversity that life can throw at us. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.